What do you want in life? Who do you want to be? What are you here for? What is your unique purpose? Are you finding fulfillment in your life and the things that you're doing? In this episode, we explore our why, our greater purpose. If you're ready to dig deep, discover more of who you are, and commit to making a change, welcome to You Already Are. Hello, welcome to You Already Are. I am your host, Alyssa Carlson. This is my co-host,
Michael Gardner, and excited to be here today.
Yes, we are very excited. I really want to talk about what is your why, because I feel like when we're talking about visualization and we're talking about trying to keep your vision in mind, because I think that's what we talked about last time, it's kind of like trying to figure out what your vision is. What is your vision? What is your why? What are you visualizing this whole time, you know?
Yeah, and if your vision is, say, money, but your why isn't about the money, really. It's about what you can do with money, or your belief about what you could do with money. But if you're not absolutely in line at a cellular, molecular, spiritual level with that why, you're going to hit a roadblock, and somewhere along the way, you'll quit. I was invited to go to a company seminar a couple years ago. It's a network marketing company. I was in Utah, so there's many, but they wanted me to do something. And so I did this process on why. But it wasn't just write it down and draw and have a picture and that. It was a get real process of why. What's your why? Why do you want that? How does that feel? And it was kind of like there would be one person asking those questions, the other one answering to get into their why. And I said, you're going to be obnoxious, the one that's asking the questions. You got to ask, like, even though they're like, I'm there. No, keep asking, having them dig. And when it was all over, the whole 2-day seminar, people came up and said that was the best thing of the whole thing. And, you know, they'd never heard of me. You know, they had other people speaking that were the giants in their industry. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just saying that's a part that's missing in these things. You know, anybody can do this, but if you don't really have firmly within you, and this is not just for network marketing, for anything, a firm, real why, where you get it at a deep level, you're going to quit somewhere. I tell people, you want to know what you're committed to? Well, if you go out and do it and you get hit in the face and you stop, you're not committed.
Because right.
You're going to get hit in the face.
Right. It's kind of like, there's an article, I just pulled it up. It's called Entering into the Spirit of It. And it's the idea of really being gratitude, just like entering into the spirit of whatever it is that you're doing. And if you're doing network marketing to make money, well, your spirit's not really in it, because you can make money doing a lot of things, right? Something that I feel like when I started this journey, it was a very crucial step, was asking myself why. Why do I want these things? Like, really deep down, what is my spirit saying that I want? What is my heart telling me, and why do I want those things? It's like, okay, well, you want money. Why do you want money? Because I'll be happier. Will you be happier? Why will you be happier? Because I'll have all the things I want. Why do you want those things? You know, like, why do you want what you want? And there's that concept of, like, everything is created spiritually before it's created physically, right? Like, kind of putting that order in to the menu of the universe, it's created spiritually first. And so if your mindset, you don't really know what it is, you don't really know what you want, and the why is just, well, I just want money, there's not a lot of spirit in that. There's not a lot of foundational stuff in the why of, I just want money, right?
Yeah. Money is a tool. So is a hammer. You know, you don't get passionate about a hammer, but you're glad you have it when you want to pound a nail.
So I like that.
Money, I mean, there's other ways you could pound a nail, but it's nice to have a hammer that's built to do the job. So money is a tool. It's a tool for what? For freedom, for things you want and all that, but it's just a tool. And you're not, I mean, if I used to give this example to people, if I gave you $5 million, would you want it?
Yes, me, yes.
Yeah. You know, everybody says yes. But then I say, okay, I'm gonna give it to you in a briefcase. You got to put it in your closet and it's going to stay there. You can't invest it, can't spend it. It's just going to be in your closet, but you can say, I've got $5 million. Then it changes the whole picture because the $5 million in and of itself, it's just a tool. But what can you do with it? And it's not just money I'm not talking about. I'll give you another example. Some years ago, there was a study done, took 100 people who had heart disease. And they told them, if you do not change your lifestyle and your eating, your exercise, whatever, you will be dead in 2 years. After a year, what percent of them actually changed their lifestyle? 5%. The rest went on with the way they were going. Why? I'll tell you why, in my experience. Because if they're eating cheeseburgers, that gives them a momentary satisfaction. The idea of health may not seem real to them. Their why is like, yeah, I want to be healthy, but I don't think I can. So I can torture myself for a week and not have a cheeseburger and endure exercising. But after a week, it's like, I don't think this is going to make a difference. I get on the scale, I lost a pound, but that cheeseburger is right there. And I have nothing against cheeseburgers. I love cheeseburgers. But that's real to them, but the idea of health isn't. So in discovering or getting in touch with your why, it's making it as real as any opposition that you know you're going to face. It's got to be that real or more so that you'll push through the challenges. It's not just I'm going to deny myself a hamburger. That's counterproductive. It's what am I going for in making that real? I know I'm going to hit obstacles along the way, but this is so real to me, I will push through.
Yeah. So with that example, it's like if someone were to say, well, why do you want to get healthy? Well, because I think it's good for me. Well, if that's your why, that's not, if it's somebody else's, other people are telling you it's good for you, that's not going to be enough to get you to where you want to be, right? It's got to be why. Why do I care about being healthy? Well, I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. I want to see my grandkids. I want to see, you know, I want to see my kids grow up or whatever the reason may be. But that's, you got to find that why. You got to think about deep down, like, why do I want this? Why is this a big deal to me?
It's not just the why. It's, are you willing to pay the price? Mm-hmm. We don't know what the price is. We don't know what obstacles we're going to come up against because we've never been there, you know, because we're stretching ourselves. We're stretching into an unknown territory. We're risking. We're going out of our comfort zone. Well, what's out of my comfort zone? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know because I haven't gone there. But when I do, I'll find out. And if my why is strong enough and powerful enough within me, I will find a way to push through. Maybe, you know, I'll get knocked down and beat up, but I will get up and go again. It's not just positive thinking. That is actually, in my experience, very, very shallow. We think positive until we hit a roadblock. And then it's like, okay, let's see. The why is not a positive or negative. It's just what is. And we're going for that. And that fuels us. And we got to trust ourselves that if we really desire that, we can have it. I believe every why that is real within us, there's a way to get there. We just don't know it. So if you said you want to be a center for the Lakers, really, Alyssa, how badly do you want that? And is that really a why, or are you trying to prove something?
Yeah, that's a big one. Is, are you doing it to prove your worth? Are you doing it to prove to somebody else that you can do it type of thing? What's your purpose behind your why? I love, my mindset coach talks a lot about milestone goals and your ocean vision is what he calls it. Is your ocean vision is your big end all be all why. And when I first started out, I thought about what I wanted to do. And I was like, at the time, I was like, I really want to get back into musical theater because I love singing and I want to sing. I want to perform. And my husband was like, okay. Initially, he was like, I don't know if that's really the best thing because, you know, it takes you away from your family and all this stuff. Maybe that's not really what your spirit is saying because that's not the best. And when he told me that, my heart broke. My spirit was just like, that's wrong. No, I can't give up on this. This is something that I really want to do. This is something that sounds really unimportant to a lot of people. Musical theater is like, oh yeah, whoop-de-doo. But for me, it was, I just wanted to perform and I wanted to sing. And so then my mindset coach was like, okay, well, why do you want to perform? Why do you want to sing? Why do you want to do this? And I was just like, I really had to think about it. And it was like really deep introspection. And I was just like, I just want to be a light. Like, I just want to be a light to other people in their lives. And I feel like performing is the way to do that. And it's calling to me. And so I was able to kind of narrow down my ocean goal to being just, I just want to be a light. And so if that's my ocean goal of overall in the end of my life, if I'm a light to other people in their lives, I've lived a full life in my perspective, right? And it's reaching that why beyond the milestone goal of having money, beyond the milestone goal of success, right? It's like, why do you want to be successful? Get down into that. My husband went through this similar process, and his why ended up being that he genuinely wants to improve other people's lives. And how he does that is through his business. And the success, the money, that will come to help promote your why, promote your vision, right? But you've got to have that vision beyond the milestone goal, because it's got to be in your spirit and your heart. It's got to be your essence that's talking, not your circumstances, not your surroundings.
And to add to that, if you're going for that success, as you look at where you are in the journey, you're at step one. And there's a part of it that says, well, I want to be at step 10 now. But there's steps 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 you got to go through. Now, you can accelerate the process, but sometimes we set the vision so big, we lose sight of the next step. I'll give an example. This was 20 years ago. This guy I know was coaching a man that was in a well-known network marketing company working out of Utah. And he said, the guy is stuck, asked me to go in and talk to him. Well, this guy was very successful. He had a house that was $10 million back then. And he was frustrated. He says, I bring my team to my house and I show them what they can have and they don't do anything. So, you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm very much in the moment in these things. That's where it's fun. So I just pondering that, and I went, well, who are these people that you're trying to get here? And he says, they're just people, you know, just average people. I said, so they're here, you're trying to get them here, but there's a big gap between you and them, and their belief system is where they are. And you're trying to get them to believe where you are, but they're not there yet. So maybe instead of showing them a $10 million house, you coach them to make maybe $10 more a week or $50 more. And maybe that would make a world of difference with them. But by getting there, then they've got a reference point of success. I didn't think I could get $50 more a month, but now I am. So what's my next goal? Okay. I was many, 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 many years ago. I'm 70. So I was 20 and I was in a foreign country involved in an endeavor where we were challenged to increase our productivity in 6 months from, let's say, if you were to call it sales, it wasn't sales, but 100 a month to 1,000, tenfold. So after this conference, I was working in the main office, and I had a thought, you know, here's what human nature will do. We'll go 5 months doing what we're doing, and then in the 6 month panic, and we may do a little bit of more success, but not really. So I came up with this thing of let's get from this month from 100 to next month 200. We still don't know that we can get to 1,000, but if we hit 200, now we have a reference point. We didn't know we could get to 200, but we did. So then the next month, let's get to 400. And then we won't know still if we can get to 1,000, but we know we can get to 400 because we've experienced it, 600, 800. Well, the whole entity adopted this. And after 6 months, we actually got to 3,000. Yeah, because what was happening was we were expanding our belief system And I believe when we do that, things work with us to support us in getting what we believe we can have.
That is a great point. That's not something I think I've addressed in my mind tune yet. We've really focused on you have your ocean goal or your ocean vision, right? So I want to be a light. And then how do I be a light? And I've come up with some milestone goals that I want. Like I want to be a lead in a musical. I want to have this house. And I envision how my life would be like if I was living my ocean vision, right? But I think you're right. I think we need to break down some of our previous belief systems, because especially when you're trying to change a paradigm, like have a paradigm shift of like, oh, you can reach all of these incredible things and you have infinite potential and you are infinitely worthy. You have to break down a lot of those belief systems that you've built up around yourself. And so just getting those like baby steps of like, well, how about you just audition for a show? Or how about you go from, like you said, you go from 100 sales this month to 200 sales next month, you know, like, oh, you want an extra 1,000 clients? Okay, how about we go with 50 clients this month, right? Like getting those little, breaking down that belief system that you can't do these things because it's so big and beyond you, and starting smaller, right? Like start with baby steps and then work up to it. But I love a concept that my mindset coach says is like, okay, I think a lot of people, the reason why they don't believe in their why and their vision is because they don't see a way how to do it. They don't see how they could possibly go from 400 pounds to 150 pounds, right? Whatever it is. And he says that for his company, their idea and their process is to, you got to forget about how. You got to give up the how to the universe. You've got to get it out of your mind, get out of the whole analysis paralysis of like, what's my next step? What do I do? And send it up to the universe and just be present. Be where you are. You have your meditation. You have your visualization that you've done. You visualize your end goal. You visualize your ocean vision and everything like that. And you visualize those milestone goals that you're getting them. You've done it already, right? That's the big thing is when you visualize like it's already happened. You already are those things. You've already done all of those things. And then you leave the rest up to the universe. And to me, it's you leave the rest up to God. You have all those doubts. I get doubts all the time. And he's like, just write them down. Write them down. Set it aside. Maybe put something on your calendar that's like, all right, I'm going to address those in a few hours. Or maybe in next week, I'll look at those doubts again. But I'm not going to let those doubts interrupt what's happening right now in my life. And so you write it all out. And you say, all right, I'm giving that up to God. I'm giving that up to the universe. And the universe will carry it for you. And if you're present and you stay here and your conscious mind is engaged, your subconscious mind, the universe, will start working for you and start bringing in all of these things that you were all questioning, like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Things will start being laid out to you, or you'll get a prompting or a thought that's like, oh, I could do that. I could use that in this, or I could, oh, I remember that person. I should reach out to that person. And you just follow those little nudges, those little promptings that your subconscious or God is giving to you. And that's when you start rolling. That's when you start getting towards your milestone goals and your vision. But spending so much time thinking about the how is really going to just get in your way. And I think I like how you're saying you can start smaller, but also as you're like breaking up your belief system, just give it up to God. You don't have to think about how. You just got to believe that you can get there, that you are there, right?
Well, you know, one of the questions when I coach, I say, you know, what's the next step? They're like, I don't know. I said, good. You're open for inspiration. And it's not the step 10, it's the step 2. By the way, when you get to step 10, that's step 1 to the next growth period. I want to give you an example. A friend of mine for many, many years, dear friend of mine, years ago, he was told to challenge himself. What's something you really desire to do, but you don't see a way? And his answer was ride across the Gobi Desert on the back of a camel. A college professor, and he was at a small college in Florida, and he was in his office, and he was pondering this challenge because summer was coming up. Because he did have a by next summer on there. It wasn't just someday, by next summer. So he was sitting in his office and he was pondering, how am I going to get to the Gobi Desert and ride a camel? Within an hour, his dean came in, or head of his department came in, and said to him, Joe, we're opening up a satellite campus in Beijing, and we would like you to go there and get that started. So Joe probably was thinking about the money and the time and all that. And here comes an answer. We're going to pay for you to go over there and start this department over there, a satellite campus. Well, you know, Beijing is close to the Gobi Desert. So that summer, he rode, didn't go all the way across the Gobi Desert. That wasn't his goal. It was to ride a back of a camel on the Gobi Desert. He did it. He didn't know the how. If somebody was said that was going to happen, he would have thought, nah, that can't happen. But that's how it came. And I believe everybody that is looking at this can pinpoint something in their life where, even if it was creating a dollar, it just happened. It just seemed to happen. It didn't really. Everything, all the forces of the universe come together to support us, whatever we believe. So if we believe life sucks, be ready.
It's going to keep sucking.
Because God or the universe says, okay, that's what you want. I'm going to make you happy. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's stories like that all the time. But where we get caught up is in the paradigms we're taught. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. No, my plan is to get across the Gobi Desert. You know, sometimes you do map out a way because it comes to you from inspiration. But, you know, it's not about that. It's about trusting that you'll be shown the way, because there's a way. There's a lot of ways. You'll be shown the way. You don't know better than the universe or God. But if that is if it's something you desire, that you feel within you, comes to your heart, then you can trust there's a way, even if you don't know it.
I love that. And I think that that is a huge barrier for people, is when they don't see how they can do things, which is why they choose not the easier path, but something that's a little bit more practical, right? I think if we were to really break down those walls of like, okay, if you just stop and think, even if it's just pretend and you don't believe it at all, just stop and think, okay, if you could have anything in this entire world, if you could do anything in this entire world, if you could be anything in this entire world, what would it be? No rules, no exceptions, anything. Don't think about practicality. Just think about, if it's in the laws of nature, you can do it. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? And take that and say, okay, well, guess what? You already are. You already are that. You already are all of those things. You can already become all of those things, but your mind is telling you that you can't, and therefore you can't. And it's one of those, break down those barriers. Think about what you really want, what your heart is singing to you, what's your heart telling you that you want to do in this life, and then say, okay, that's what I want to do, and that's the plan. Like you said, give that to the universe, put your order in to the universe, and it'll start cooking, and then leave the rest up to the universe. Leave the rest up to God. Leave it all up to him. And then when those doubts come in, because they do, write them out. Get them out. Say, I don't have space for you. And just one of those things of like, you know, I have these self-doubts all the time. I have all of these doubts all the time. It's like, oh, well, you're not good enough. You're not a good enough singer. You're never going to make it. You've never made it before in the past, so you won't do it now. And I write them out and I say, you know, you're not serving me. I don't need to think about that right now. I'm going to give that up to the universe. I'm going to give that up to God. If that, they can worry about that. I'm going to worry about right here, right now. I'm going to worry about, what are my kids doing right now? What can I do to serve people around me? What's happening in my life right now? Rather than worrying about all of those doubts of how can I be this? How can I do that? That's not up for me. I want it. I said I want it. I believe that I can be it because I'm an infinite being. I have infinite potential. I have infinite power, or I have access to infinite power. And so that's going to be up to God. How I get, how and when. And we have to be able to accept that it may not be when we want it or how we think it's going to happen. But that's the beautiful thing, is that as long as you have that vision, as long as you believe that you already are those things, and you start acting, this is a big one. You start acting like you already are all of those things. You start acting like, I could start acting like, I've already been a lead in a musical. I've already done all of these things. I'm already the best mom I could be. I'm already those things. It's not this whole like, I'm lying to myself. I'm, you know, trying to put on a show. It's, I believe that I'm already those things. And then I'll get there, right? You just got to believe that you're already all of those things. That's why this podcast is you already are. You are all already those things. You just start acting like that, being that person 100%. The universe is going to be working on that order that you put. And you'll start receiving promptings. You'll start receiving these thoughts that push you towards those goals, push you towards your vision. And you'll start seeing this world is opening up for you. And you're like, wow, these things are happening for me. They were right. Oh my gosh, things are happening for me because I believe that the universe has got my back, that God's got my back.
So you want to be a light. That's the goal. What if you're a light and it's not singing?
Then that's God's plan.
That's where we got to get. Maybe God or the universe knows better than me of what way to be the light.
You have to trust that. You have to trust that, okay, well, if it's not what I thought it was, you have to trust that it's still going to be fulfilling. You have to look at it and be like, oh, look at these opportunities.
It's more likely you'll get there to that if you're open that maybe that's not it. But if you're like, no, it's got to be here. Whatever this universe or God is may be showing you, there's all these options out here that could even be more fulfilling. Trust me. You're like, no, it's got to be here. This is where it's got to be. And then you get there and it's like, yeah, that's cool. But again, I would tell you, I've had this with people. I did a relationships training, created one years ago. And some of the people, you know, one of the common phrases, men and women, if I could just find the right person. I say, you always do. You'll find the right person to support you in what you believe. You always do. We could have 100 men in a room or 100 women in a room. And if you're looking for the best, you're still going to pick the one out. There might be one in there that's a clunker, but that's what you're really looking for. You don't know it because you keep picking clunkers. I mean, somebody who has their own belief system that says they're not worth it, you'll pick that person. Because you'll feel attached, you'll feel a connection. So there could be 99 of everything you say you want, but you'll pick the one that you've always picked before, because that's what you believe. But we do tend to pick, we gravitate, water will go to the lowest form. And if we believe we're worthless, our water will go to the lowest level.
I like that idea of the water flowing to the lowest form. This is why we have to build that belief that we are infinite beings, right? We are infinitely connected. We have infinite worth and infinite potential. And like you said, you got to be okay with things not going the way that you thought they were going to go, and accepting the promptings that you receive or the thoughts that you receive that may lead you in a different direction. Like this podcast, I never thought in my life that I would do a podcast ever. And all of a sudden I was just driving and I wasn't even thinking about anything. And I was just like, man, it would be great if there was a podcast out there that talked about this stuff, right? And then it was like this really powerful burning in my heart and my spirit. It was just like, a podcast needs to be made for this. We need to reach, you know, more women and more people who need this reminder of who they can be, of who they are. Then they've fallen into the mold of what the world's told them.
Well, that's 7 billion people out there. And I would venture to say 99% are that audience. Including myself. I'm still, you know, doing the work. I'm a work in progress. So, but in this, I'm not saying I'm further along or anything than anybody. I'm just saying there's principles I've been learning that you may be light years ahead of me in that regard, but my job is only to support you in going further, faster than you currently are. And this kind of brings up something else is of comparison. I sent you a little note on comparison is the killer to peace.
There is like a saying that I love. It's comparison is the thief of joy. The minute that you start comparing yourself to other people, you lose your joy.
Have you ever heard somebody say, if you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to go out and prove you wrong. You ever seen that?
That is my personality. That's my personality. When you tell me I can't do it, I work a lot harder to prove to you that I can.
Why?
I don't know.
You may not even want what I say you can't do.
Right.
But I'm going to prove to you I can. So what? Is that what you want? Is really proving really what you want? Maybe I say you can't make $10 million. Well, I'm going to go show you you're wrong. But what you really want is to be an artist. But you put that aside so you can prove to me or to somebody that you can make $10 million. And then you get there and it's like, yeah, but I really want to be an artist. I put that aside because proving is the domain of the ego. It's always about proving. Let me prove myself. Let me prove myself. And if people disapprove of me, I'm going to prove them wrong. So who am I doing it for? I'm doing it for them.
This is the biggest thing. Okay, let me just share. I think I shared this in our first podcast. When I was going to college, I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. And I got a scholarship for musical theater. And I loved it. I had the best time. I was so happy doing that. But I was told, well, it's not going to make money. It's not going to provide for my family. It's not a real degree. Okay? What can you do with a musical theater degree? So I listened to all those voices. I changed my major 4 times, and then I eventually dropped out. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And then, okay, get this. Then I went back to school. And I did do something that I wanted to do. I wanted to be an event planner because I love throwing parties and I'm good. But I still had people telling me what I should be doing, that I should be able to do something that's going to contribute to society or contribute to my family. And because what I really wanted to do when I first thought about going back to school was I wanted to go to culinary arts school. I wanted to learn how to become a professional baker or a professional chef because I love doing that stuff. I love that creativity. But I was told, you know, hey, that's probably not a really practical thing to do. So why don't you find something practical to go to school for? So I did. And I'm not saying that I'm not grateful for my experience in school. I am grateful and I have a degree. But I got that degree, let me tell you, I got that degree because the world told me that I needed to have a degree to be worth anything in this world. And how many people feel that way, that because they don't have a degree, they are worthless in the work field. They're worthless in this world. And they're not successful if they don't have money and a degree and a house. They're not worth it if they don't do those things that everybody says, oh, you should have these things. And if you have these things, you will be happy. Well, let me tell you, I got my degree and I was still unhappy. I have a house. I have a family. I was still unhappy. And it's because of how I felt. I didn't feel like I was being fulfilled. I didn't feel like I was doing my calling. I didn't know who I was. I was doing what everybody else was telling me to do. And I feel like that's how what people get trapped in. And they get this idea of like, well, if I have money, then I'll be happy, right? We've talked about this. It's like, oh, when I get money, when I can live in a comfortable house, I'll be happy then. I'll be happy then. If when my husband changes and he gets a job, and I'll be happy then. I'll be happy when my husband can provide for me. Well, you won't. I'm here to tell you that you won't. You won't be happy because you're not happy now. So if you could be happy now and you can think about the things that you truly desire rather than what everybody tells you that you should have, and stop looking on the outside of what everybody else has got. Oh, look, their house is so nice. Oh, the Joneses, let's keep up with them, right? I like how that person did their hair, and I don't look like them. Why don't I look like them? I want to look like them. And oh, that person has more kids than I do, and I'm jealous of them. And look at how much stuff they have. I want that stuff. And oh, she's a stay-at-home mom. I don't want to have to work. I hate working. Oh, I want to work. I hate staying with my kids. All of these things. It's like, okay, well, when you get whatever you think you're going to need to be happy, you're not going to be happy because you're not accepting where you're at now. You're not happy now. And you're not listening to your spirit. You're listening to everything else out there. You're listening to what everybody else is saying that you should want and that you should have, rather than listening to, hey, what does Alyssa want? What does Alyssa feel inside her heart that she genuinely just wants to do so badly in her heart? And that's when you find your purpose. That's when you find your joy, because you won't have it if you're seeking it out there.
Yeah, it's looking for something external to fill up a void internally. So drugs, sex, money, all that, you know, there's nothing wrong with. You can have money. One of my very best friends, I guess he's worth $100 million. If you met him, you would know he's well off. You wouldn't know that, though. And he's somebody that, very clear, that's not it. That's not it in life. And he wasn't really in pursuit of that. He just is a very creative guy. And he was in a situation that he calls luck. I say there's no accidents.
You started comparing.
Oh yeah, because we're best friends, you know. And I mean, a lot of we'll have some good talks, and he'll talk about his fears, and I'm like, I have those fears, and he says, "See, we're a lot alike." I said, "Yeah, but you got hundreds of millions of dollars, and I don't. Other than that, yeah, we're a lot alike." So anyway, you know, but that's not why he's where he is. Where he is because of who he is. Because I know people have more money than him, and some of them are some of the most miserable people there are, because that's not it. It's not just about money. Money's a tangible way to measure some success in life. But if we're talking about peace, how do you measure peace? You can't measure it, but you can, you know it when you feel it. So money can be let's face it, if you had all the money you wanted, you were financially free, that would relieve a lot of stress in a lot of people's life. But other people, they really don't care. They really don't care.
I want to expand on that. If you had all of the money that you could want, what would you be doing? What would you be doing with your life if you had all the money that you wanted? And then the question is, why would you be doing that? And then the next question is, why aren't you doing it now? Right? And yeah, money is a thing for people. Money is a big drive for people to try and find happiness through money. And oh, if I just had a little bit more money. I love this. There was a podcast I listened to. It's a mindset mentor, and he talks about letting go of your desires. I know this is counterintuitive, but saying, okay, you're looking at all these things that you want. And we've talked about this, because when you focus on what you want and not on what you have and who you are, all encompassing what that means, right? Then the universe keeps saying, oh, you don't have that. I'm going to give you less of that. You keep saying that you want it. Well, you still want it because you don't have enough. You'll never have enough, right? Because that's what your mind is saying. Well, he talks about letting go of your desires, letting go of those things that you want, that because the reason that you're unhappy is because of those desires. You're unhappy because you don't have money. You want more money. You're unhappy because your husband doesn't do the things that you want him to do. You're unhappy because your children don't listen to you. You want these things to change, right? But if you just accept them as they are, let go of those desires and choose today that you're going to be the person that you wanted, that you want to be. This is a really hard concept, I feel like, to describe. But it's like you have your ocean vision, and you're letting go of the I want things to change, and you're becoming your ocean vision. You start being the change.
Well, it's being in spite of circumstances or regardless of circumstances. If you're not happy, you're not going to be happy with this or that or the other thing. When you say I want something, you're saying I lack something. So where's your focus? It's on the lack. Where's your energy? It's on the lack. Or if you say I need something. We're powerful beings. We really don't need anything. We got to have air and water, at least according to my belief system, to live in this human experience, food. But otherwise, I don't need, I don't need my wife. I love my wife. I want a connection with my wife. Needy relationships tend to be miserable. Codependency, things like that. Interdependence is very different than codependency. So, you know, when I look at what I want, I actually put it in the term of desire, because desire comes from a Latin dea of sire, which is God or a higher power. So, you know, however you want to say it, I mean, I'm not trying to correct your coach or you. I'm just saying I put these terms because to me, it's a more powerful, conscious connection to my purest thoughts, if you can call it that. Then when I say I want, you know, the energy of that is very clear to me now. I'm lacking, and I'm focusing on the lack and the scarcity. You know, so I desire to live somewhere else than where I am right now, but I can still love where I live and enjoy it. And that makes a big difference. I was reading something the other day where somebody was lecturing somebody on their privilege because they live here and not here, and you have privilege and blah, blah, blah. Well, the truth is, I don't know that person's circumstances. I don't know if they live in an abusive home where they're beaten every day. I know people that live in this country where they wake up every day in fear. I mean, abject fear. They feel they're in danger. So just because they don't live somewhere else, they're not in any more privilege than anybody else. So it's not about the circumstances. It's about us. And are we looking at ourselves as powerful beings that if we are in a situation that is not the most desirable, we grab the power and do what we got to do to shift it? Or do we sit here and commiserate on our lack? Yeah, it's not your circumstances that determine anything. I would go so far as say it's not your circumstances that determine whether you're a victim or not. It's your mindset. You can have a situation where something that we would call horrible happens. That happened. We're not saying that doesn't happen. How you deal with it, whether you deal with it from a victim mindset or an accountable mindset, will determine not only if you shift it or not, but it'll also determine, well, first of all, you learn a lot about yourself. If you do it from accountable, you see you're more powerful than your circumstances, believe it or not. But also it will have to do with your well-being overall.
I have two things to say about that. The first is, and again, I'm quoting the guy, the podcast that I listen to is Mindset Mentor, if anybody wants to go check him out. But he says that you will always find someone who is in a worse circumstance than you are that has more joy than you do. Because there are people out there who are in terrible circumstances and somehow they found peace. And I'm going to go on an extreme side and share a story about, I'm sure people know who this is, but I'm going to share it anyways, Viktor Frankl. He is an Austrian psychiatrist that lived through the Holocaust. He was a Holocaust, you know, he was in a concentration camp and he was a prisoner in there. And I'm pretty sure he watched his family all die while he's in there. And that is probably the worst case scenario that you could find yourself in, at least one of them. And somehow he found that he was free. He found freedom in this concentration camp and he ended up making friends with the guards. He ended up realizing that the power in his mind is greater than what is happening to him. They can't take his freedom in his mind. They can't take his freedom. That's his agency, right? They can't take that from you. And he was able to find how much more powerful he was and be able to influence the people around him, including his guards. And he came out and wrote a book after the Holocaust and everything and about how he survived and everything. But I think that's powerful. As somebody who could live through something that terrible, watch his family pass away, and yet somehow he was able to identify his power and realize that he doesn't have to be miserable. He can choose what happens to him on the inside. And he did. And he became a wonderful person and an inspiration to many. But that's kind of like, I know that seems bigger than everybody and bigger than me, because it is, but it's like, check that reality, people. Like, check it. Check your reality. Can you look at your situation and your life right now and think that it's any worse than that? And then try and say, well, I can't do anything. There's nothing. I mean, like, these things just happened to me. I'm a victim of my circumstances. I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have that, right? Like, check yourself. Just because you don't have those things that you think make you happy doesn't mean you're powerless, because you're not. You're filled with power. You're filled with potential. So wake up and find it.
I would add this. First of all, if I look at somebody else's situation and say it's better or worse, I don't know really, because I don't know all what they're dealing with. But I can look at it and say, wherever they are, that's the perfect place for them right now with their learning. It's the perfect lesson for them to discover the power they have, if they don't like it, to have different. All I can really look at is me. Whether I think they're worse off, that a lot of times says, oh, I'm okay then. Well, maybe I don't feel okay.
That's another comparison. I'm sorry. You're right.
I just feel like, if, you know, we're looking at other people, it's the same thing as looking at somebody's got $100 million, $200 million, $500 million going, I'm not like them. They have it better. I don't really know. I mean, they could be, there's a lot of wealthy people, actors and that have committed suicide. And you think, well, why would they commit suicide? they got it made. They're famous. They got money. But the point is, am I really worse off than they are? Am I better off? I don't, you know, that I don't know. All I know is where I am and how am I about it? Am I okay with it to the point where I'm not letting my circumstances dictate my own peace? Or do I feel there's some things I could shift to enhance the peace of my life, which there always is. But really, you know, it's tough enough just to work on me without wanting to work on everybody else. But as I work on me, naturally, I'm going to be about inspiring others to work on themselves. Not, I don't even have to say anything. In fact, I read something, I don't have the book with me, but it said something about when you find the peace of God, you don't have to say anything. It's evident. So when we're working on ourselves, I believe it's evident in people and we will come across a certain way. People will say, well, you could be a light at the grocery store. Well, that's true. You can't. But again, that's not really what you're thinking about in the dream. You want to sing and you want to be a light when you sing. Right. So what I'm saying is we can. It's not about where we live. You could go to somebody and they don't know anything about your background. They don't know anything about how much money you have. And you just say something that makes the difference in their life. I'll give you an example. I just reconnected with somebody that I met back in 1975. He was an instructor in a language course, a very intensive language course that I was going through. And he came in and was an instructor in that. He was only with us for a brief period of time, but I always remembered him, always remembered him. So I've recently reconnected with this person and he's opened up and shared about his life. I had no idea a guy like that would have had the ups and downs he would have had. But what I remember about him is the difference he made even for a brief period in my life. So his life story surprised me based on that. But what was impactful and where from time to time in my life, I would think about him. And he was such a light when he would walk into our classroom. That's really what I remember. But people will remember the light we bring into their life, even if it's brief. So you can be a light at the grocery store, but it doesn't mean settle for that. It just says you can be. In fact, if you're not, you're probably not going to be a light on stage because it doesn't happen because you're singing. Singing is the tool you would use to share your light.
So when we're talking about comparing others to ourselves, one thing that I like, I really like this expression of touch lightly everything else. Hold on to your essence. Hold on to who you are, your vision, everything inside. And touch lightly everything else. Touch lightly your circumstances. Touch lightly your other friends. Because when you're holding on to right here, inside, when you're holding on to your essence, that stuff melts away. That stuff, you stop the comparison. I mean, it still happens, I think, a lot. So I want to challenge our listeners to sit down and think about what their purpose is. What if they had all the money, all the time, anything that they could ask for in the world, what would they be doing now? And then I want them to think about why they would be doing that. What's the big reason why they would be doing that? Why would that be fulfilling for them? And realize that that's your vision. The why behind if you had all the time and money in the world and you're doing that and the why behind that, that's your vision. So start with that. Start with visualizing that. So I really think it would be important for people to take time and think about these deep questions. Get down to the very bottom line, not the superficial stuff that you want. The bottom line of what is your spirit wanting and seeking. And write it down and visualize what your life would be like if you had all the money and the time in the world and you were doing that thing. Visualize it. And that's when you start the universe working on that vision. Would you like to challenge our listeners for something?
Yeah, I was pondering this after last time. The goal of this ultimately is peace, journey to peace within. So if you look at some of the stressors in your life, and money is one of them for a lot of people, but it could be your physical health, like if you're overweight or if you feel like your eating habits are not in alignment. Those things, even though if we want to ignore them, they do contribute to stress. So pick something and just take a step to relieve the stress, because you'll find when you take that step, your creativity opens up, your inspiration opens up, and you start to see more and more possibilities about how to deal with it. Whatever you're resisting about it, like if you've got an unpaid bill and you're like, oh, I'm going to just put it over there and I don't have to look at it, it doesn't go away. What you resist persists. So take a step to deal with it. And you'll find the more you engage in this, the more you minimize the stress and you start to feel a little more peaceful about things. You can sleep better relationally, physically, healthy, financially, spiritually.
When you say take a step to deal with it, what do you mean?
It could mean anything to anybody. If, like, say you feel like you're overweight, go out, commit to taking a walk 15 minutes every day. Just go out and walk, because every time you do, you feel a little sense of forward movement, and that creates more movement where you start to naturally shift some of your other habits. But you're taking forward moving steps. Exercise spiritually. If you don't feel spiritually, you do a little more praying or pondering, or what I call communing with God, reading things that are uplifting to your inner self, things like that.
So just take a step.
Forward progress, yes.
Just anything it is. And it could even be as simple as accepting where you are. Because I feel like that's the most important step, is just accepting this is where I'm at and I know I can change. So that's a step. I like that. So we've got find your why and take the first step. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. You are the reason we do this. We're super grateful that you guys take your time and you want to listen to us. If you guys liked our episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and share it with your friends and family. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Reach out, send us your comments or questions or ideas that you guys would love to have us talk about. We're super open to any of that and it helps our content. Thank you for joining us and we'll catch you next time. Thank you for joining us on another episode of You Already Are. Remember, you already are everything you aspire to be. Continue this journey and embrace the beauty it brings. Create the life you desire and remember your infinite worth and infinite potential. Until next time, live as though you already are.